Welcome to episode 321 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and George. When most people think about exploring history, they automatically think of Europe. But with travel abroad off the table for now, we decided it would be fun to take a look at some of the many opportunities we have to explore history right here in the USA. From sea to shining sea, there are so many ways for you to explore our national treasures with your family and watch history come to life. So let's get started. So I always think of like U.S. history, Washington, D.C., the Northeast, you know, things, I don't know, kind of like the 13 colonies kind of thing. maybe because that's where I've always lived on the East Coast. What do you guys think about?
Yeah, up here in Boston.
Yeah.
In Boston.
That tea party.
That little tea meeting. Yeah, I guess that's the big one. And that's probably where we should start, is when most people are thinking about exploring history with their families, or, you know, doing, you know, even you think back to your school days, when you talked about Washington, D.C. more than anything else. And but there are several options that where you can go, not just to D.C., but also kind of get out of D.C., go to Gettysburg and go to Philadelphia. I didn't find any with Pittsburgh, but I'm sure.
Well, there's plenty of history in Pittsburgh. My cousin, who was a history professor, is in Pittsburgh.
I had to beat her to it, because in my head as I'm talking, I'm thinking,
you knew it was coming.
Yes, we all did.
But Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, going to, you know, Williamsburg, Richmond, Monticello, Charlottesville, Shenandoah National Park, and going to Gettysburg in Philadelphia. And there are actually some really good package tours that kind of encompass this whole area, and you kind of follow in the footsteps of George Washington, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a neat way to, I don't know, bring history off the page and make it not so one-dimensional. Can you imagine when we were in school, how cool, because maybe you guys got to do this, but I didn't get to do this.
Yeah, we did. Cool, I mean, we had school trips. We had school trips to Williamsburg and to Jamestown. And I mean, I think that I will say that when I was in fifth grade, when we did this, I wasn't super excited about it, but it really did help bring the history to life. And I think especially right now, if you're dealing with kids who have been home, you know, and trying to learn from home, it's so much better to embrace this in reality if you can do it safely. And some of these places are wide open. You know, they have wide open spaces. Even, you know, places like Gettysburg, it's not, if you're not a buff, it's not the most exciting place to go, but it's something tangible that that kids can do to bring history alive. And it's not far from Hershey. So, you know... have a little chocolate, have a little history.
Has anybody, you know, been to Gettysburg? Have any of y'all been?
I've been when I lived in New Jersey for 5 years when I was younger growing up. And I remember with the Girl Scouts, we went everywhere. And I remember that as one place we went. We also went to this historical village in Baton something. They had like the cobblers, and they had it was mm-hmm. one of those they call them living history museums.
Yeah.
And I know mm-hmm. they're big all over Europe, but there actually are quite a few of them in the U.S.
Oh, Jamestown has stuff like that.
Yeah. And Old Salem in Winston-Salem actually mm-hmm. is like that as well. It's a recreated Moravian village. It's pretty cool. So actually my son just went to Gettysburg a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So they had a hockey trip up to the Philadelphia area, and actually to Hershey. And so they took a day trip. Not all the team was interested in going, but my son is a bit of a history buff. So, they went out there. But I do think like battlefields are something where you kind of need to really know what happened there. Whereas a living museum like Jamestown or Old Salem, or I mean, even isn't like Salem, don't they do something similar in Salem, Massachusetts? Yeah.
Salem has a bunch of things, but they also have, I've always wanted to go to Salem around Halloween, which is, I think, what everybody does. Yeah. But they always do like the recreations, reenactments, and things like that. And I think that's another great one.
They reenact burning witches?
No.
George is nodding.
Like, yep. I've never been there, so I don't know. No idea.
But I also kind of thought of like, I know we've talked about them a little bit in the past, but there are Western tours where you go out, like follow Route 66. And I think that's a little bit like what you did with Adventures by Disney, Elizabeth. You had like a...
It's a little piece of it. Piece yeah, of they it. Definitely tied it in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yep. There are other more in-depth tours I found with a couple other companies that have where you kind of visit all those Monument Valley and you visit all these national treasures, so to speak, that we have here. And
yeah, and I mean, the national parks, we're actually going to talk about this in a couple weeks, but the national parks have their own history as well. So like you mentioned Monument Valley, but that actually ties into the Native American lore greatly. And so approaching it as that sort of history lesson could be very, very valuable. And that whole part of the country, obviously, well, actually anywhere in the country, you can find that. So, you know, we're in North Carolina, the Cherokee, the Trail of Tears originated here. It's not a great piece of history to think about, but it's important. So, so many ways to tie those history lessons in to what's just here in our backyard.
Yeah. That goes back to, like you were saying, Gettysburg. And we talk about this with national parks a lot. You know, listen to the park ranger talks. Like if I was going to go to Gettysburg, and I hope to do that one day, I would want to do a tour and definitely hear more about it and learn more about what happened there. And there's a lot of monuments there too. So rather than just going and looking at it, you know, learning about why it's there, what it represents, you know, that would be really cool to me.
Yeah, it almost tricks you into getting a little history lecture, but it's really, I mean, because it's tangible, because you're standing on that soil, because you're standing there where it happened, it makes it so much more real. So yeah, it can really, really tie everything together and make you remember it.
I was trying to remember, a little rusty on my history, but I had to look it up for verification. But like the Trail of Tears National Historic Trail, it goes through nine states. Mm-hmm. So Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Tennessee.
Are you reading this, Lindsay?
Yes, I am. I told you that was not in order. I told you I had to look it up because I couldn't remember how many states. But there are cultural centers and state parks that all have historical significance of the Trail of Tears. And that's a great, it's kind of one of those off the beaten path that you don't think about. I was thinking about like,
well, and it would be, I mean, the lesson of just learning how long that trail is. Yeah. I mean, that's, they were forced a long way from home.
Yeah.
So it really is a way to bring that together. And again, not necessarily cheery, but history isn't always cheery. But there's so much that you can tie into that trip as well. And I think Sandy, actually, in our last planning meeting, Sandy was like, we need to do something about the Great American Road Trip. And these are great ways to sort of, we nixed that idea, but we can talk about it now. sort of tying, you know, if you look at the history, look at what your kids are talking about in history, you could tie a road trip into
this
that.
This is a teaser for a future podcast.
Did we agree that we were going to do that? I thought we said no.
Well, I mean, I think if I do the trip, we'll do it, right?
Oh, I see.
Okay. Well, I'll be maybe. Talking about it.
Kind of like Pittsburgh, yeah. Right?
Yeah, just talk about it, whatever we're talking about.
Whether it's a topic or not.
But like the Freedom Trail in Boston, like George was kind of talking about. But there are so many other things that you don't necessarily... whoops.
There's a pub right. I'm laughing to myself because there's a pub. I'm just going to go there. There's a pub right by the cemetery where Sam Adams is buried, so you can have a cold Sam Adams while looking at a cold Sam Adams.
Oh,
that joke never gets old. I think that might actually be a sign on the wall. I didn't make that up. So if you hate me for it, it's not me.
But there are, you know, and we talked about dude ranches in the past. There are tours where you could follow the footsteps of the Old West and the Gold Rush and the, you know, and the cowboys and different aspects of life. And
I think the important thing is when you're planning a trip like this, or when you ask us to plan a trip like this, is to talk to your kids about what they are finding interesting, even remotely, in their history lesson, or listen out for something that they might find interesting and tie it to that. Don't just say, oh, well, we should see this because it's important to them. Find a way to tie it into something. So we actually, my kids went with their grandmother to Mount Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it right after they saw Hamilton. So it was kind of like a good way to sort of tie in some of that, you know, to something that had caught their eye. It was much more interesting to them, I think, because they had just seen Hamilton. So, yeah.
That reminds me of the Hamilton happy hour walking tour I took in New York.
In New York, yeah, that's actually a good one. If you can, yeah, when New York City is open to you, that's actually any of those Hamilton tours. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, New York City, there's so much. Hamilton is sort of the granddaddy of New York City. I mean, he is a cultural phenomenon there, always has been. And so there's a lot to see that he had his hand on. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't want to do it on your own, there are some options for tours. Like you were mentioning the Adventures by Disney tour that I did, but there's lots of tours like that where you can, you know, you won't have as much say in where you go. You can sort of pick your core that you want to see, and then the tour will take you there and the environs. But that way you don't have to put as much thought into it, and you'll get the guide, you'll get the history lessons, you'll get all of that wrapped in, plus somebody else will do the driving and take care of the details for you. So exactly. You don't have to do that. So that can be really helpful if you're really not sure, you know, much about, if it's something that you already know a lot about, then that could be fun to plan. But if you don't know much about it and you're just trying to, you know, make things a little bit more interesting for the kids, that can be a great way to do it.
Going back to the live enactment kind of things, when my kids were younger, we did a Boy Scout trip to Colonial Williamsburg. And I just keep thinking about how cool that was. And it was something that I never really realized they did, you know, and they had like the fort built up, and then they would show them how, I don't think they were really shooting muskets, but they were pretending to. I've got pictures of them holding these gun-like things, and they were, you know, like churning things and, you know, seeing how to weave things. I mean, it was so cool. And if they, like, that night at the hotel, they were playing that stuff, you know, like that was, mm-hmm. It really kind of made an impression, at least for that short amount of time, you know. That weekend.
Yep. So,
and BTW, so cool. There's a Busch Gardens there too. So you can tie in that sort of fun with the, like I was talking about with Hershey, and mm-hmm. You sort of can, if you're worried that they'll think the whole trip is boring, if that's all it is, then there's always something close by that, you know, could make the trip, turn the trip around a little mm-hmm. bit.
How cool would it be to, I just found a trip that itinerary is actually, it's appealing to children, but not only children, to big kids like me. How cool would it be to go to DC and then go to Niagara Falls and then to New York City, and to New York City?
Wait, that's
those are
trip.
Really yes. Far apart.
That is really far apart. You fly?
You three nights in DC and then two nights in, yeah, you fly.
Yeah, it's gonna be
okay. Because that'd be a long
nights
drive.
in Niagara Falls, and then.
I mean, if you wanted to drive that, you could stop in Pittsburgh for a night or two.
Oh, don't even! We're leaving that section of the country. So there's a lot to do in New York and on the East Coast, but we're not going to talk about it anymore because Sandy will bring it.
You know, I think we should take an Outlander trip to Pittsburgh because you guys don't believe me how cool it is.
We believe
someday
you.
Someday we're going to do a whole podcast about nothing but Pittsburgh, but that is not this podcast.
I don't know why we haven't done it yet.
I do want to say that one, you know, you always want to find the silver lining, and one of the silver linings to our current predicament that we're in is that the tour companies who have been in business forever are offering more and more options right here in the U.S., which is something, you know, there were options before, but there's a lot more now. I can honestly say that some of the companies I've looked at, their offerings have doubled, if not tripled, in tour options. And I just looked at one that had 95 different tours throughout the U.S. that you can take with your family. Mm-hmm. And that's massive. And that's from coast to coast. It's not just the East Coast. There's Western tours. You can do tours of Washington states and California.
Yeah, I'd love to do like a California, almost like a gold rush and kind of I mean that state has such an interesting history in that state. Like it's that state. But yeah, it has such an interesting history. So yeah. And I don't know that much about it because I am an East Coast girl and I grew up here. I've sort of had to learn about California, you know, through various trips that I've taken, but I don't
well, there's Hollywood and there's San Francisco, right?
That's the whole state. I mean that speaking of road trips, a lot of people do that Pacific Coast Highway, and we did that when I was a kid, and you know, saw Hearst Castle and saw Big Sur, and you know, like there's so much along the coast that you miss if you just go up five. So you know, and obviously it's very scenic and beautiful as well, but lots and lots of history as well. We stopped in Monterey. I got a print of the art that was the cover of the Rio album from Duran Duran because I thought it was cool. That's how old I was when we did this.
So like 12?
Now you know. Yeah. I'm not even 13. Yeah.
The important thing is that trip stuck with you, right? So that was something that had value to your childhood and mm-hmm. increased your knowledge and love of travel. So that's basically our point here is there are options. I mean,
exactly. And I think that's interesting too, because as I was a teenager and I've never been a huge history buff until I was an adult and I started thinking history was interesting. I never really did as a kid. And I remember that I learned a lot on that trip about California, and like Hearst Castle to me was absolutely fascinating. And I will fully admit that if you said, let's put on a flapper dress and go to a speakeasy right now, I would be like, I will grab my mask and I'm going with you because I love that period of history. But I think that visit to Hearst Castle is one of those things that sort of solidified that for me, like walking through those halls and seeing, you know, literally the 20s and 30s come to life was eye-opening, you know. And I actually think I might've been 16 when we went. But I was still very jaded and grumpy, and I wore a lot of black, and you know, so listen to The Cure and stuff. So, I remember it. So I think that if you're hesitating, if you're like, yeah, my kids would be like, sure, history trip, that sounds awesome, Mom. You don't make it all about the history. You sort of sneak it in there, and it becomes so much more interesting. And they'll be surprised at how interested they are in it. I remember watching glass blowing at Jamestown, and I thought, this is the most fascinating thing. And now I've seen, you know, glass crafted at Walt Disney World, in Venice. I just said those two things right in a row. I mean, you know, you sort of, you gain an appreciation for it. And it was a totally different type of artistry, that basic recreation of, we make bottles because we need to make bottles so that we have something to hold water in, to, oh, we make these delicate like masks and beads and things like that to decorate. Totally making different, using the same idea and doing something completely different with it.
So. I just remembered what the place was I went to in New Jersey.
She didn't remember. She looked it up.
No, I remembered enough of the word to look it up, but Batstow, New Jersey.
Bat was a stove, like flying bat and cooking stove?
So Bat S-T-O, B-A-T-S-T-O Village. It's probably not a top tourist destination, I'm just telling you right now. but I remember the impact that it had on me. Like, it was like walking into history. Yeah.
And I think it's part of the reason we wanted to talk about this tonight was how travel sort of makes our lives better and illustrates like what the rest of the world is like. Like you get outside of your own, which is so important right now, getting outside of your own little cave that you've been in for a year now. Once you can get back out again and seeing, you know, the rest of the world and seeing how, and so tying in sort of not just what is here now, but what happened here before becomes so interesting. And in the introduction, you know, you talked about most people automatically think of Europe just because Europe is so much older in existence. Well, no, that's not the right word I'm looking for. In Western civilization, maybe? Is that what I'm looking for? But we don't have as much documented that far back. So, but we have castles, you know, I mentioned Hearst Castle and we have one in North Carolina. Biltmore is here. We have historical towns. We have, there's a lot of things that have happened here.
You know, another thing, this is kind of, it's on topic, but it's a little bit switched. Another thing to help you really dig deeper into that destination is hit up a local bookstore and look at the children's books about that area.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the one when we were in Juneau, Alaska, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the statue of the dog? Yeah, we found out the history of the
dog.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, it was we like had this, no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, I bought the book and brought it home. It was this dog that basically did not want to be anyone's dog. He wanted to be everybody's dog. And he hung out at the ports and he would watch for the boats. And, you know, I mean, it's just a cool, like, glimpse into what life was like at that time in that area. I mean, Juneau is a huge, it was a gold mining town, you know, but very remote and hard to get to. So stories like that can really bring it to life for a kid too, you know, and they'll remember, like me.
And what a great historical, I have to say, this should be our plug for Alaska, because what a great destination for social distancing. To bring history to life. Take a lesson. You take your kids, you know, dog sledding, and you can learn about the Yukon, about the gold rush. You can do all these things that I think are kind of off the beaten path for those of us that live in the lower,
Alaska is different, for sure.
It's very, and then, Savannah, Georgia, too. I can't believe we can't talk about history and not talk about one of my favorite cities.
Savannah and so Charleston. Many,
yeah, Charleston. Mm-hmm. And those places, I mean, you feel the history when you're there. You can.
Yeah.
But they're also modern cities with a lot, like, you know, Charleston, because I live close enough, when I hear Charleston, the first thing I don't think about is the houses, you know, all the architecture. The first thing I think about is the food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And the art and the culture and shopping. The houses are really cute too.
And
yeah.
All that is part of the history because that's part of the culture. So you wrap that all into one ball of it. It's the same way that we experience. I would say, maybe we need to like experience the U.S. the way that we all experience Europe. We go and we appreciate the history and we taste the different local cuisine and we do all these things that I think some of us, when we travel at home, don't really, and I'm guilty of this.
They look for the McDonald's or the restaurant that is everywhere.
Or you're just passing through on your way to somewhere else.
Yeah. That drives me crazy when I travel with people who want to eat someplace that we can eat at home. I want to eat something new. I want to have that first burger. I forget where it is. And somewhere in the South, they did a Food Network show about the place where there was the actual supposedly the very first burger. And it's made on like a press with a handle that you stick over an open flame. I want to go have that burger.
You should come down and have some low country boil and we'll do an oyster roast. You need to come out here.
It's interesting because I think when we started this topic, we were sort of thinking about traveling with kids, but I think that this really is more about how we see our own country and how we overlook the things that are right here. Mm-hmm. And actually, I mean, I just recently went to the Outer Banks for the second time in my whole life, and I am very close to 50 years old, but I've lived here since I was 2. So yeah, it's, you don't do those things that are right there.
Yeah.
George said he's never been to Salem. How far is Salem from you, George? Yeah. Oh, you're muted. Oh, he can't unmute. He doesn't know how far he is from Salem.
He didn't erase that part.
No, too bad George doesn't know how to use technology.
I'm so guilty of that. There are so many beautiful waterfalls and things that are within driving distance of me here in Washington State that I have never done. Thank goodness I've been to the San Juan Islands, so at least I'm not that ridiculous. But I really have been lately getting out more and doing more local travel, as I think we all.
You know, one of the cool things in North Carolina beaches, I don't remember seeing this as much in the Outer Banks, but I'm thinking more around the like Atlantic Beach area, is the pirate history, like Blackbeard.
Oh, it's a lot in the Outer Banks. Outer Banks are, I mean, yeah, that's where all the shipwrecks are. It's right off the Outer Banks. Yeah, that was.
But Charleston, was too, had, you know, they have tunnels from the Battery into the city to the where they used to smuggle stuff. So lots of cool stuff like that.
Yeah, Blackbeard is from the Outer Banks. Yeah.
Well, he died over there somewhere, right? Well, there's a area, but
Mary, what was the female pirate? We like learned about these folks in school, but anyway, definitely history. And the Lost Colony is on the Outer Banks too. Yeah. That you want like real history? That's like one of the world's biggest mysteries,
and one of the longest running outdoor theaters too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do that in the summer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which I couldn't get my family to go down and visit and see.
Well, this year it's dark, unfortunately. They're not doing it at all this year. Hopefully next year.
Hopefully so.
Oh, in New Orleans.
Well,
if you like mystery history, like if you like sort of your history to have a little bit of question to it, Chicago, mm-hmm. New York. Mm-hmm. Even Miami, we saw some mobster history there. Las Vegas, there's some great sort of behind-the-scenes tours. Actually, I don't think you can really do that in Vegas because I think you're still there.
Yeah, but there is a mobster museum. I don't know how tongue-in-cheek it is, but there is a mobster museum in Vegas.
There's a tour in New York City that is basically a speakeasy tour where they've taken all these hidden bars that are, they're still bars. And so I know one is like in the back of a Five Guys and you knock on the door and go back into the bar. So, yeah.
Oh, there is a great,
that's on my list.
There are a couple great tours there's a great mop tour I did take in Chicago. And there's another one that is did you ever read The Devil in the White City? About H.H. Yes. Holmes. Mm-hmm. Not a family tour, but definitely highly recommended. Good tour. Those tours are always a great way to see the city. And the first time I went to Anchorage, I actually did ghost tours, which is, you think, okay, tongue in cheek, but it's a great way to experience history because they mm-hmm. actually brought out a binder with pictures of, this is the building that used to be here. Here's the story. Here's the folklore in this
area. Oh my God. The only thing on the History Channel right now is like ghost hunters.
Well, that's the only thing on the travel channel.
St. Augustine. St. Augustine, Florida, you get pirates and you get that sort of history, the ghost tour kind of thing. So,
and you can go to the Fountain of Youth, mm-hmm. which I should have never taken my husband to because he ran back and he took an extra sip. Like we both went through and got a shot. And then as I was walking back to the car, he's like, hang on, I forgot something. He runs back in there and we get in the car. I'm like, what did you forget? He's like, I had to get an extra one. I'll outlive you. But it is like all that whole area, and you guys are so lucky on the south end. You have the pirate flair, but we have our own pirate festivals up here too in the Pacific Northwest. There's some pirate lore up here.
You have pirates there? I had no idea.
I think they're more like modern pirates.
I guess where there's gold, there's pirates. Yeah.
Gold, there's pirates. There's a big huge.
Warm Caribbean waters.
Yeah, they just weren't swashbuckling, I'm
they
sure.
Weren't, they weren't, they were well dressed pirates, if there were any.
Yeah.
<For sure. laughs> But there's a big pirate festival usually up here, the Seafair, and that's kind of the theme of the Seafair with the ships and the. And so
cool.
I think wherever you have ships.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Where there be ships, there be pirates.
All right. Yes. Well, on that note, this is our show for this week.
I speak fluent pirate.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.